Blog Talk Radio.
Mike, and we're about to hit you with another episode of Take This L. One second to get my setup here ready to go. Bam, 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 and bam. Got a lot of stuff I want to cover. A lot of stuff to go over. Wow, just looking here at this story about Demaryius Thomas. Apparently he was kind of blindsided by this trade. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He didn't seem happy about the trade, but when you're on a team that's not doing good, and you're one of the highest paid players, probably the highest paid player on the team, they're not doing good, and they've then brought in younger guys at your position, the writing is pretty much on the wall. So you know, it shouldn't have surprised him that much. And if he has a half-decent, capable agent, it shouldn't have surprised him at all. But I think he's in a better place in Houston. But I don't know. Looks like he's not. Or he wasn't. He wasn't happy with it, so. Gonna get into some college. Got this. I want to talk about a little bit of everything because we got a lot of stuff. Like I said, we got college, we got NFL. We're gonna talk about, of course. Then we're gonna even talk a little bit of hoop. Because hoop is the football fan on a bad team. Is the fan of a bad team. Hoop is our salvation sometimes. So no matter how bad the Raiders can be doing, I can at least be like, man, maybe the Lakers might do good. So we're going to talk a little bit of hoop. Talk some college hoop. We had the debut of Zion Williams. Is it Williamson? Zion Williamson at Duke. And him, Cameron Reddish, and RJ Barrett. And they did not disappoint. They played Kentucky, who was the number two team in the country. Duke was number four. And it was a slaughterhouse. I mean, my goodness. I haven't seen Kentucky get beat like that in a while. But, yeah, that wasn't nothing nice. I think they were up by 50 at one point. But those three guys are looking just ridiculous. You know, Zion gets all the publicity, but RJ is probably the top prospect. But folks be sleeping on Cameron Reddish. I think Cameron Reddish, he could end up maybe being the best out of all of them. He's one of those longer guys, you know. But he could end up being the best. I don't know. But Zion, like I say, you know, he gets all the publicity. He's a big guy. He does the fancy dunks. Been a highlight reel in high school for about the past 3 years. But it was kind of weird because he came out, I didn't think he was going to be that big. I think they said that they officially weighed him almost 300 pounds, which he's 6'6", maybe 6'5". But he's a big, big guy. I mean, I don't know who I compare him to. I'm going to wait to see if we can get Maybe if Dave will call in tonight, I'll ask him who he compares him to. I wonder if, I don't know. Does Zion get it? Is he Barkley? Is he Grandmama? I'm wondering who this guy is, who he compares well to. We'll get into that a little bit later. Well, not today, but this week also first marks my first week cutting the cord. I'm getting rid of my cable, even though I am not getting anywhere near the same internet speed I was promised. So I might switch back pretty soon. But kind of sad when cutting the cord is like a big deal. But let's press on. Also, high school football playoffs have started. So that's going to be something to pay attention to. We might here in California, we might end up with a situation where two teams that play each other in the regular season come around and play each other in the state finals. And those two teams would be Mater Dei and St. John Bosco, who are currently top five team ranked in the country. With St. John being number one, as they beat Mater Dei earlier this year. I think Mater Dei is ranked different with a couple people. Look right now and see. And they got them ranked number four, number two in the national rankings. Wow, so I'm looking at these national rankings here. California got three teams up there. In the top 10.
Thanks. Like a smart thing.
St. John Bosco has beaten both of those teams. Well, one of them is Jay Sarah, and their losses are to Mater Dei and St. John Bosco. Okay. And they just played this past week. They played Long Beach Poly in the playoffs, first round of the Southern Section playoffs, and they blew them out 42-9. And like I said, this is a team that Mater Dei blew out 42-7 a couple of weeks ago. That's interesting. Anyway, they play Oaks Christian next. So we'll see how that goes. Poly played Valencia last week in the first round, and they blew them out 44-6. That loss to St. John Bosco, 41-18, is going to loom over them this whole year. But they play Mission Viejo next. St. John Bosco.
We want to make sure you're covered properly.
Okay, State Farm. Ooh, let's just say hypothetically that someone used Aaron's bathroom and that.
They play Sarah of Gardena in their first round of the playoffs, who Sarah is. It's pretty much they're like a football factory kind of in terms of sending kids to college.
and they brought a bunch of the pros too. Robert Woods, Marquise Lee, a lot of guys. But they got blown out 49-0. My goodness. Yeah, man. Oof. They got whooped. Man, I'm just looking at the stats. This guy from San John Bosco, DJ, you That dude is a truth. He's like a junior Tua Tagovailoa. 14-19 for 225 yards, 4 touchdowns in this game against Sarah. Oh, wow, Sarah wasn't that good. She only 5-6. How'd they make the playoffs? That's crazy. But it's looking like they're going to be marching towards their next national championship here. I think they already have one. Oh, my goodness. Now they got Clemson as a possible destination for Ugalele. This dude is 6'4", 240, and he's only a junior. He's got a full beard. He's got a full beard, got a little goatee, cuts it off. Man, I don't know. They're going to have to check his birth certificate. That dude, man, he's a beast. He's the top quarterback of 2020. I wish he would go to USC, but USC already has Bryce Young out of that class. He's like the number two quarterback from modern day. But you never know. Things change. If we can get both of them, yeah, let's do it. But you never know. But yeah, I'll keep you guys updated on these playoffs. Looking here at IMG too.
Address. What's that? A safe house in Paris. Why would I need a safe house in Paris?
IMG Academy. They don't. Remember, they don't play in the Florida playoffs. So their season is done, I believe, because I think Florida playoffs have already started. 11-2. Okay, yeah, they play Hoover from Alabama.
Afraid of change? No, you should be.
They played Hoover, Alabama last week and blew them out 48-7. And Hoover, I believe, was a top 50 team at the time. Yeah. Looks like Florida. I got Carroll City ranked ahead of them. Wow, Carroll City got a good team. They're 8-2. Why these, you know, wow. They got them 8-2 ahead of IMG, who's only 7-1. That's kind of weird. I don't know who Carroll City got on their squad, but it looks like they got a good team. Check their schedule, see who they lost to. They're playing Norland. Damn ad keep popping up on here. They're playing Norland, Miami Norland this weekend. And who they've already beaten, they've already blown them out. Ah, okay. So it looks like they didn't actually lose. They had two forfeits, but they blew both of those teams out in those forfeits. So they probably had a player that was declared ineligible. But yeah, it looks like they'll probably take the Florida 6A championship. Wonder who that player was. Anyway, all right, let's jump over here to college football. What the heck? First thing I look here. The college football wire, and it says that voters in San Diego have approved for a new stadium for San Diego State. SDSU West. Soccer City. Excuse me, I'm just reading here. This is ridiculous. How they approve? They approved a college stadium, but they didn't want to build an NFL stadium. Oh, but they're saying it won't. They're saying it won't use taxpayer money. Last vote they had on anything like that was in 2016. And that was when they voted down a measure that would have basically got them the funds to pay for a stadium that would have housed the Charger and gave them a, and also built like a convention center down there. Oh, that's weird. San Diego. Well, let's go ahead and run this commercial real quick while I segue into the next. Which one to play, boss? Let me see. Somebody has loaded up a bunch of stuff on here.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are...
Somebody loaded up a bunch of new sound bites on here. I'm looking at them. Let me go ahead and play this. I'll be back.
A long time ago, there was an ancient prophecy from the outermost edges of space that knows no boundaries. This fall, Earth as we know it will never be the same. One man, one weapon. Critics are calling it the best comedy of the year. From the makers of the Internet, this is his last chance to save the world. But then, the world does not exist.
Man, forget all that. Just download my special, man. Or get the DVD when it's available.
They will search for answers.
The link's posted below.
Catch the Box and Source radio show every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. We have James Bell going over the news, notes, and announcements in the sport of boxing. And we also take calls from people that want to talk about the topics that are covered over the week in the sport. So once again, catch the Boxing Source radio show every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. You can hear at the new news. Apparently, University of Maryland has fired those two trainers that were involved in the Jordan McNair situation, which I'm figuring that they should have been fired, but this is University of Maryland. Last week after the show, the chairman of the Board of Regents at University of Maryland resigned. And the supposed to be a review going on right now of the board. I'm thinking that they all need to resign. If they passed a vote that was going to hire DJ Durkin back, they all got to go. I wouldn't even let him resign. I would fire them. Then you had Tim wasn't good enough to be a football player, Tebow, stepping in there, giving his point of view. My goodness, you know. I don't know. I hate to get political, but it seems like everything in this country is becoming entrenched in politics now. You had Tim Tebow come out and give this I don't even know what it was. I don't know why he did it. I don't know where he was. But he came out and gave this. Let me see if I can find this. One second. Let
it's amazing how so many of these schools are, they're doing one thing, and when they find out it's not popular, then they're totally changing. Look at Tennessee last year, Maryland right now. You know, I think when these universities make decisions, they, one, have to wait to try to make the right one, or two, when they make it, you got to stand up for your decision, or you just can be pushed around nonstop. So now Coach Durkin is out. What do they need to do? They need to find a super high character, high integrity, young face that can start to change the program and be able to create that character. Listen, you're not going to win for a couple of years, but at least you want to be able to start with the character aspect, the integrity, and be able to recruit that way and change the culture. And I think that's the way you start.
They weren't winning for the last couple of years anyway, Tim. What did you think about the initial decision to retain him?
Well, I didn't get a chance to read all the reports. We talked about it a little bit last week. But I think these universities, when they make decisions, and, you know, you need to come together. You need to get all the facts. You need to look at it. You need to get all the decision makers in that room, and you need to make a decision. You need to stand with it, because right now it shows like people are so afraid to have conviction, to believe in something when they make a decision, that they're like, oh, my goodness, social media is against us. Where we're going to fire him now. You just made a decision to keep him. Like, if that's your decision, if you believe that's what's right for the program, then it shouldn't matter what I say. It shouldn't matter what social media says. It shouldn't matter. But so many people, they want to be liked instead of being respected. And I think more universities need to stand by what they believe is right. I'm not saying their decision was right, but they need to have courage to say, you know what? I would rather be respected than liked. And too many people in our day and age, they just want to be liked and have all the social media. Let me tell you something. Social media is never going to always like you. There's always going to be naysayers. But it changed the Tennessee job. It's changed this. Like, I want these presidents and ADs to stand up, and when you say something, have it mean something. Let's be men of our word and have character when we say something. We believe in it. We have conviction. And it's just, I mean, people say something, oh, it's not popular, let me switch. Who cares about being popular? Have respect. Stand up for what you believe in.
Bravo. Bravo. Nice job.
Very inspiring, Tim Tebow.
Inspirational.
I must confess.
Okay, so this is what Tim Tebow has said, and here's my issue with this. When you start off when somebody asks you a question about something, and you start off with saying, I don't have all the details, at that point, it's probably best that you just shut up instead of continuing on with which you have to say. Because if you don't have the all the details, you don't know what you're talking about. You know? So, I mean, and it was so much behind this, because this just wasn't a social media thing. If they cared about social media, they wouldn't have reinstated Durkin anyway. They would have hired him off bat. This was the student body president of University of Maryland was against this free hiring. The president of the university and the governor of Maryland, that's just a few, that did not want, and the governor specifically said, we need to review this decision. And the president of the university was not going to hire him, was not going to rehire him. He was going to fire him. They told the president of the university that if he did not rehire Durkin, he was to hand in his resignation. He was going to be fired if they didn't rehire this man. So it had nothing to do with social media. It's just, you know, this was one of, you know, like I said, I don't want to get into politics, but this is one of those MAGA kind of statements. And I've had to kind of change my view on things. I do
Well, it's not even really a change of view. It's just a change of understanding. I didn't think that people, I don't know, maybe I gave people more credit than what they should have had. But folks like things to be simple. Well, they like certain things to be simple. I'll say that. Some things they like to make it more complicated, but that's usually whatever is in their favor. But for the most part, mainstream, quote unquote, mainstream America likes things to be simple. So they have, like, you know, they have this way. I mean, you know, you look at these elections, look at, you know, they don't, it's really weird. I don't know. It's just hard for me to explain, but, and I can't, like I said, a certain part of me can't blame them because people don't want things to get too far out, you know, in terms of the morality of the country, in terms of, you know, how different we were than from before. And it's created this thing, you know, everybody wants to, you know, this home, you know, this simple, you know, social media is the bad, you know. Well, it's like, you know, like I said, social media had nothing to do with this. But like I said, in my opinion, you know, Tim Tebow, he's trying to position himself for a career in politics. And this is, you know, I said it before, you know, Tebow is the perfect kind of guy to get into politics. You know, he's Christian conservative, likable. He's the American Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, University of Florida. You know, everybody likes him. You know, that type of guy. You know, maybe not a president run, but like I said, now that Trump's become president, you know, I don't put anything past what could happen. But definitely, he's a guy who could be a state senator for the rest of his life, or maybe even a governor. But, you know, mayor of whatever town he's in or something like that for sure. You know, but just the simple, you know, oh, it's social media. You have to stand up. It's like, who can make a decision when they say they don't have all the facts and then go in on something that has nothing to do with the decision that was made? It's just, you know, that's just kind of mind-boggling to me. And this is somebody who we're supposed to take seriously. And, you know, I don't know, that, like I said, that's mind-boggling to me. Getting into college football, the big game that we had last week was Alabama LSU. I believe Bama was favored by, I think it was 2 touchdowns, which some people thought was a lot. I didn't. And they came out and they blew them out. I think it was 29-0, I think. So they shut them out. LSU really didn't even drop in the ring. They only dropped 4 spots, which, yeah, 29-0. They got blown out. It was not a competitive game, in my opinion. We just talked about, you know, last show I was talking about how the defense of Alabama wasn't a usual Alabama defense. And then they come out and do this to LSU. LSU had 12 yards rushing the entire game. They had more carries, twice, 25 carries for 12 yards. They looked horrible. Burrow was 18 of 35.
5.3 yards a pass with zero touchdowns and one pick. Tua was Tua. He did have one interception, but then he also had 295 other yards and two touchdowns. Like I said, LSU defense wasn't no, you know, they're not a joke. They, you know, they didn't fold. It's just, you know, they were just overwhelmed. You can't, when you're on defense and you got to be on the field all the time against a powerful offense, it's very, very hard, especially if you don't have them big boys up front. And they do have the big boys that are you know, and their offensive line is able to break through and, you know, make big holes, or even worse, their guards are able to get into that second level and put pads on the linebackers, is going to wear your whole team down. And that's what happened to Bama. Give me one second. Yeah, but anyway, looking at this, I got this new gigabit internet, and I think I'm about to get rid of it. I'm not getting anywhere near a gigabit of speed, and for the price increase, it's just not worth it. So I think I'm about to call them and send this crap back. Anyway, looking at this top four of the playoffs, you got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. You got Ohio State there, too. For some reason, Ohio State is ranked number 10, which is below a two-loss LSU team. I mean, I don't know why they dropped Ohio State that low, but anyway, I don't want to get too much in that. That's just ridiculous. Because that means even if they come back and beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, they still might not make the playoffs. And this is, you know, this is Ohio State. They make the playoffs almost every other year. They got a national championship, whatever, blah, 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 national power. Anyway, in my opinion, Oklahoma is still a threat. Like, you know, like I said before, Alabama's tough, but if you have a player on a talented team that can be transcended, it has been proven that anybody can be beat. This is coming from a USC fan. This saw Vince Young take a Texas team that 99 times out of 100, I'm pretty sure USC would beat them. If I could go back in time and watch that game again, I would still bet on SC. But Vince Young was transcended in that game and ended up beating USC, who at the time people were saying could possibly have been the greatest team of all time. You look at 2 years ago, you had Deshaun Watson, who just the previous year had got stomped by Alabama, came into the game against Alabama and turned into Superman and became transcendent. And they beat Alabama, who at that time, folks are talking about that was one of the best teams of all time. Now we got another Alabama team that folks are talking about could be one of the best teams of all time. And we got a couple of players up there who I think could step up and do that. Number one, Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. Oklahoma's defense has not been any good this year, but that offense is a juggernaut. They got a lot of pieces in play, and Kyler Murray is a cheat code. Let me just go here for a second. We'll look at Mr. Murray, and I can tell you what he's done this year. And this is his first full year as a starter. He split time when he was at Texas A&M, but now he's a starter. Dude's only 5'10". He's a little bit. 70%, fast for 70% this year, 2,600 yards, 12 yards a pass, 31 touchdown, 5 picks. He's also rushed for 574 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's Kyler Murray. And I believe we're through 8 games this year. But he's still got 3 games left. And like I say, when you have a dude like that, anything is possible in my opinion. Even though, I do believe that Tua is going to win this Heisman this year. Then you look at Clemson. Clemson has this freshman, Trevor Lawrence, in there, a true freshman. Dude has only started, a handful of games this year. I think he started around week 4, because I think that's right when they said they were going to make him the starter. But on the year, in about 6 games, 1,500 yards, 18 touchdowns to only 3 picks. He's a true freshman. And this defense at Clemson, I believe, is a better defense than Alabama. Folks have been sleeping on Clemson, which, you know, once again, I don't see how or why. But this is, you know, they just blew out Louisville, put 77 on Louisville. They put 59 on Florida State. They put 41 on North Carolina State, who's a very good team. 63 on Wake Forest. Their closest game was against Syracuse. And Syracuse, like I said, has been a very good team this year. This is a squad. Like I said, they got BC coming up. BC's number 17th. And I think they're just starting to hit their stride. I think Lawrence is only going to get better. I won't even say he's a guy who I haven't seen do it on his feet. You know, he's a young guy, though. I mean, like I said, I suppose he has some athleticism in him. So, you know, but like I say, this is a team that has all the pieces where it can match up or possibly even beat a University of Alabama squad. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. Next. We are, give me 1 second. We had USC. Of course, I got to talk about Trojan. You know, I'm a USC fan. USC played Oregon State last week. Clay Helton has taken over the play calling at USC from T. Martin. They got to make a coaching change. Just from the things that I've seen from USC do, yeah, T. Martin, I thought he was going to be a good offensive coordinator. He's an excellent recruiter, but yeah, he wasn't doing the right things on offense. Clay Helton was not running the offense the way I think it needed to be ran, but we got to see more out of it, you know, and it's sad because Michael Pittman Jr., top wide receiver at USC, he got injured, so we had one of the true freshmen come in, Devin Williams, and dude is a beast. So it's like, why wasn't he getting any playing time this year? You know, he's 6'4", fast, one of them type of guys. I ain't going to call him a Moss, but, you know,
He's a guy who they should have been getting on the field. He wasn't getting any playing time. Aka Cedric Ware, running back. Rushed for over 200 yards. And like I say, this was Oregon State, but this is also a USC team that was just not looking that good. You know, they looked alive. I think that the injury or the concussion protocol JT Daniels had to go through, I think maybe that week off kind of might have helped him because he looked a lot calmer, a lot cooler in the pocket. Still don't know if he should be starting over Jack Sears, though. Sears looked really good, in my opinion. So I'm still not certain of that. But you know, we will see. Only thing is, like I said, the defense, they kind of, you know, second half, they let Oregon State get a couple of quick scores in. But like I said, I like the game that USC played. They got a big game coming up against Cal, then they got UCLA, then they got Notre Dame. So right now, you know, they're 5-4. I'm hoping that they can come out with a 7 win. You know, if they can get Cal and UCLA, Notre Dame, if they knock off Notre Dame, that'd be lovely. But that's at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's number 3 team in the country right now. Just looking at JT Daniels on the year, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I think maybe Sears might need to get an extra look. Daniels, 56%, 1,800 yards, 9 touchdowns, 7 picks. Only 7 yards a pass. And Sears, one game, he was 71%, 8.3 yards an attempt with 2 picks. I mean, 2 touchdowns and no picks. And he moved around very well in the pocket, too. So, but I don't know. Like I said, this goes to what the coach at USC thinks. The sad thing about me, though, that you know, USC has literally a fleet of wide receivers. A fleet of guys, and a lot of these guys aren't even going to get any PT or any time at all because we can't get the quarterback straight now. All these guys are former five-star guys. Michael Pittman Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Vaughns, Velus Jones, Devin Williams. You know, then they got a lot of 4-star guys, Trayvon Sidney, Josh Emmitt-Orbebe, you know, just tons and tons of guys at this wide receiver spot. And they're not actually doing that bad, you know, like I said, for, you know, they're getting, you know, but I don't know, just underperforming, under potential. And it's really bothered me being a USC fan. Anyway, let's go ahead and move to the NFL. Biggest news of the day in pro football is that Dez Bryant has finally signed with a team. He has signed with the New Orleans Stunners, the Saints. And their excellent quarterback, Drew Breesy. I'm kind of excited about that. I want to see what he does with that team. How he works out. The biggest thing to me is to see is he lost a step because he already was not the fastest quarterback. I mean, the fastest wide receiver. And if he's lost a step, he might not be that good of an addition. But like I say, he's still a guy with good hands, even if his route running and speed is not there. He still has, you know, well, he's always had excellent hands, strong, very strong-handed kind of guy. Can get you a lot of jump balls. you know, might be a good, you know, preferred red zone option. Even though Michael Thomas, like I say, he's kind of like one of them do-it-all kind of guys. But he's more of a speedster kind of guy. But, like I said, we'll see. Michael Thomas, you know, he came from Ohio State. A lot of those Ohio State receivers have just not worked out. My goodness. Let me look at something real quick. I was just thinking about that when I was thinking. Yeah, he's out of Ohio State. Was his second round pick. Like I say, he's had 1,000 yards every season, coming up on his 3,000 yard season. He's been fairly excellent. And that's Michael Thomas. Go to his college years, though. College. He was the leading receiver when he was at Ohio State. His senior year. Previous year. Let me see. They had Devin Smith. Okay, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, they had Devin Smith that previous year at Ohio State. Dude has not done nothing in the league, really. I think he got an injury. He was pretty good at Ohio State, fast wide receiver. But I think he had an injury. And here he was a high jump guy in the Big Ten. He started off the year with the injury. And, wow. This is his second torn ACL of his professional career. And he just got waived by the Jets. You wonder if he can make a comeback. It might be a wrap for him. But they had they've had a lot of guys, and I'm thinking about going all the way back to, what is his name? I think his name was like Michael Clayton, Ohio State. But yeah, I'm just looking at these receivers here. Looks like none of these guys have really worked out. Going all the way back. Okay, yeah. Going back in the years here. Let me see. Top wide receiver. Yeah. Even Devier Posey, he didn't end up doing any good. Was it Dane Sansenbacher? Was it really that good? Just looking at it year by year. Hartline and Ray Small, Brian Rubisky, none of them guys ended up doing anything. Not in the league, at least. Anthony Gonzalez, Ted Ginn, yeah, those were, you got to go all the way back then, and I'm all the way back to 2016 now. Ted Ginn, wow, Ted Ginn's the most successful receiver. They had San Antonio Holmes, too. I forgot about him. Yeah, that was 2006. Yeah, San Antonio Holmes and Ted Ginn.
those your best guys not doing so hot. And like I said, this is going all the way back. It was Michael Clayton. Michael Clayton was the wide receiver for LSU. It was Michael Jenkins. Yeah, last Ohio State. Shit, he might have been the last Ohio State receiver with 1,000 yards. That was a long time ago, man. My goodness. That was 2002. Back when Maurice Claret was still playing football, wowzers. But anyway. So I started all that from talking about Des Bryant signing with the Saints. Anyway, hopefully Des Bryant can do good there. We're at the halfway point in the NFL. So I wanted to do like some mid-season awards and an award isn't always a good thing because you can be awarded for being bad too. So my $252, wow. My award for worst team in the NFL goes to the Oakland Raiders. I'm looking here at some of these bad teams. The Buffalo Bills are really bad, too. The one thing, though, that I will say, and maybe it's out of the Bills. Well, the Bills have 2 wins, so they beat somebody. Bills got 2 wins. Browns got 2 wins. Raiders have 1 win. Giants have 1 win. And the Niners have 2 wins. The one thing about the Raiders, and I'll say the Raiders and the Bills, that stand out between all those other teams is neither the Raiders or the, well, no, nope, 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 nope. Once again, I just have to put that on the Raiders. My goodness, wow, the Raiders. I forgot about Tre'Davious White, but, I was going to say the one thing that stands out about the Raiders is the Raiders did not have a star on their team. You look at all these other teams and they at least have a star. Like I said, Tre'Davious White on the Bills is a star. Raiders have no stars on their team. None. Nobody is any good. Their best player was Khalil Mack. They got traded. Now their best player is David Carr. Is not having a good season. They have nobody on defense of any good. So I'm going to go ahead with the Raiders as the worst team of this year. Now, then I'm going to go ahead and name my early season MVP, my mid-season MVP. And it was tough. It was tough. The finalists, I'll go ahead and name the finalists. Finalists that I had for mid-season MVP, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback from Kansas City, Drew Brees, quarterback from New Orleans, Jared Goff, quarterback for the Rams. Todd, the Gurley man, running back for the Rams. And my my vote for MVP goes to I'm going to go ahead and have to give this to Drew Brees. Todd Gurley is right there, though. But I don't know. The Rams have a lot of weapons, and I know Gurley fuels that whole team. But I could just only imagine, without Drew Brees, the Saints would just be ugly, ugly, ugly. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Brees. Brees is balling out, like I said. Gurley's having a hell of a year this year. Gurley's looking at 800 yards, 4.8 a carry with 12 touchdowns already, and we're at the midpoint in the season, so we still got 7 games left. So it looks like he's probably going to get around 1,500 yards and might even reach that 20-touchdown plateau. Once you get that 20-touchdown plateau, great googly-moogly, you are up there, man. And to add on to that, he's got 362 yards receiving and another 4 touchdowns. So he's looking, you know, he's looking like Marshall Faulk, kind of actually looking a little bit better than Marshall Faulk. But we're gonna wait till the season's over to say that. But you look at what Drew Brees is doing this year. 76%, 18 touchdowns, and only one pick with 120 quarterback rating. That's bonkers. Yeah, he's out of control this year. And like I said, he's, you know, and you look at Mahomes and you look at Goff, and these are guys that are right there too. I mean, Goff's at 67% with 20 touchdowns and 6 picks. Mahomes is at 66% with 29 touchdowns, 7 picks. He might end up with like 40 touchdowns this year. Well, easy, easy. If he only gets 2 touchdowns a game, he'll get 40. A lot of good quarterback play this year. And like, you know, like I say, looking at Derek Carr, Derek Carr's not horrible. He's passing 72% this year, but 10 touchdowns to 8 picks. That's persona non grata. But like I said, that could be due to his weapon. Like I said, Derek Carr is a guy, he plays off of his confidence. When he's not getting confidence, when he's getting knocked down, when he's having receivers drop balls, you can see it in his face when he loses his confidence. But he's not having a boo-boo season, though. And right now, like I say, I'm looking at to come out of, I'm looking at the Chiefs-Rams. That'd be a good Super Bowl. Chiefs are going to have to get past the Patriots, though. Patriots, like I say, you know, they started off slow, and then they won 6 straight. Looks like I think that's the longest streak in the league. Oh, nope, Saints have won 7. Saints started off losing, and they won 7 straight. But then the Rams, and the Saints just beat the Rams, so I don't even know if I could really put the Rams over the Saints over the Rams. I like the Rams a little bit better than them from the defensive point of view. Most disappointing team, though, I probably have to say, is the Jaguars. I thought this was going to be the Jaguars' year. You know, they had the offense. Everybody looked like they were going to be healthy. And then, you know, you start off. Cam Robinson gets injured. Ben Fournette gets injured. Then next thing you know, you're trading Dante Fowler. You know, it's kind of off. You know, you had your boy Jalen Ramsey talking trash. Now he's silent. You know, so it kind of just all fell apart for them. Kind of sad, but it is what it is. That's the AFC. NFC, I'd have to go with, I'd say the Niners, just because there was a lot of talk surrounding them. But, you know, with a quarterback injury when he's your star player, is kind of, you know, that is what that is. I'm going to go ahead and look at, this is a tough one. I'm kind of torn between the Eagles and the Seahawks. I'm going to go ahead and say the Eagles, though, just because these are defending Super Bowl champions. They did have their starting quarterback out for a bit. So, you know, they very well could turn back the second half of this season. But whenever you have a defending Super Bowl champion, well, I'll say a Super Bowl champion, is not able to defend their title, it brings a lot of things into perspective. But it looks like really like their running game is really what's hurting them. But like I say, Wentz is, you know, Wentz is being Wentz, 70%, 13 touchdowns, only 2 picks. So, you know, he's having a good year. They really weren't getting good play out of Foles, though. But like I say, it looks like they could easily turn things around. Look at the games they got left. Dallas, New Orleans, Giants, Washington, Dallas again, Rams, Houston. Ooh, that's a tough second half right there. I don't know. They had games also that, you know, like I said, this is, you know, they had games that they should have won in the, you know, 10th game like against Tampa. They should have won that. And they were all close games. You look at their losses, though, they were all close games. Tampa was the biggest one. That was by 6 points. But then you look at Tennessee, that's 3 points. Minnesota, 2 points. And Carolina, 4 points. So, you know, they've lost some very close games. Except for the Giants, the games they won haven't been that close either. But I don't know. Like I say, now that Wentz is back, we'll keep the jury out on them. Anyway, it looks like I'm going to go ahead and cut things a little bit short today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I will get back to you next week. All right, folks. Have a good one.